Please be seated. We want to welcome each and every one of us to Wisdom Assembly this beautiful, cold Kansas City day. Hallelujah. Want to welcome those who are joining us online. Welcome to church. Praise the Lord. I want you to fasten your seatbelt. Be ready to receive. And I pray you will act on what you receive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is a continuation of where we stopped last week. Last week we couldn't gather like this because of the treacherous weather. We had to take precaution. It's very much unlike me, but we had to take precaution. And a couple of days too was very brutal. But we thank God we're here today. Amen. Amen. I have titled the message today as Trading Up in Your Life. Trading Up. Trading Up in Your Life. If you turn with me to Matthew 25, I would like to highlight one or two things. Matthew 25. The Bible says from verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. I want you to underline that in your Bible, if you can, or highlight it. Traded with them. He traded with what he got. And when and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. Why? Because he traded with them. We know the story of the one who got 1 and buried it. I will save it for my master. When he comes back, I will give him back what he has given me. But Jesus said when his master returned, his master called him a wicked servant because, unlike others, he refused to trade. He did not trade. God loves traders. Will you tell your neighbor? God loves traders. Hallelujah. I stand today according to the word of God in Acts of Apostles chapter 5 and verse 20. After the angel of the Lord had opened the gates for Peter, he said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Part of what I'm going to share with us this morning are what you can call words of this life. Necessary words that you and I need in this life. I shared with the workers in our first meeting this morning about how in Genesis 25, how Rebecca, the wife of Jacob, got pregnant with twins. Hallelujah. And you wonder why God chose one and not the other. Why did God choose Jacob and not Esau? Esau was the firstborn. And you and I should understand that the reason being, God already knew the characteristics of both of them. God knew that Esau was not going to be a serious person with his destiny as Jacob will be. God already knew that Esau was one who will make light the importance of his birthright. That birthright was a gift from God. God knew that Jacob will be a go-getter, a relentless person, one who will not give up easily on anything. And we can see that in how he wrestled with the angel saying, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Praise the Lord. We see how Jacob was a true lover who will not give up on the one he loved. I will labor for 14 years just to get his wife Rachel, the one he truly loved. Esau, on the other hand, what did he do? He traded down his birthright. He gave up his birthright for something that will not last him. His birthright will have lasted him all year round. And the benefit of it could have been passed over to his children. But for the choices he made. Listen, God has given each and every one of us something. Something to trade with. Just like in that parable of the kingdom, that man gave his servants talents, money to trade with. God has given you something to trade with. The question is, what are you doing with yours? Or from here on out, what will you do with yours? Particularly today, I want to talk about finances, because here in Wisdom Assembly, this year our focus is number one, getting out of debt. Tell your neighbor, you will get out of debt. Tell yourself, I'm coming out of debt. Amen. For those of us who are Nigerians here of age, we will remember a sitcom many years ago. I think it was from 1980 something. I can't remember very well. It's called Bassey and Company by Ken Saro-Wiwa. If you want to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. It will say, if you want to be a millionaire, in the front, from the front to the back, think like a millionaire. And the guy never paid his rent. Praise the Lord. But that statement is so true. How do millionaires think? How do rich people think? When you read books about people who have made it, people who have traded up with what they have, you'll hear that somebody started life with $1,000. Somebody started life with $250. How did they make it with that pittance of money? The truth of the matter is, the problem of life, poverty, is not about the money. It's about the mindset. I said last week, your mindset is your life set. Let me give you a story. Some of us may not know this. Apple, not the one you eat. Apple, makers of iPad, MacBook Pro and whatnot, iPhones. It was actually started by three people. Three people started it. Three people started the company. Primarily was Steve Jobs. And then we have Wozniak. And then we have Ronald Wayne. But nobody is hearing of Ronald Wayne today. Why? Ronald Wayne traded down. I think he owned 10% of the company. And when the company was to go up, he refused. He said he wanted out. How much was he to want out? About $2,500. I want that to sink. if he owned 10%, if any one of us here owns 10% of Apple today, you're talking about billions and Apple was one of the first companies to reach the threshold of $1 trillion. He traded down his 10%. I think he's probably living in a one trailer somewhere right now. Nothing. He can't go back to Apple and say, you know what, we started this company. No. In name we did. But you backed out. The time you are meant to step up, I pray God will give you grace and wisdom to step up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Think like a millionaire. It's not a sin to be rich. As a matter of fact, it's a sin to be broke. It's a sin to be poor. It's not a virtue to lay your hands on your car every morning before it starts. There's no righteousness in that. Praise the Lord. The Bible says Jesus became poor so that we can become rich. I was thinking about it. He didn't become poor spiritually. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about real substance that you can touch, that you can feel. But the choices we make is what is denying us. I shared with the workers in our first service this morning about the value of the dollar. Think about the inflation rate. I have a statistics here from Google. The US dollar experienced an average inflation rate of 1.63% per year during this period, meaning the real value of a dollar decreased. In other words, $1 in 2015 is equivalent in purchasing power to about $1.08 in 2020. So a difference of 0.08 cents over 5 years. You may say that is nothing. But ask a billionaire to lose 8 cents over a dollar and calculate how much that will be. Praise the Lord. In 2015, the inflation rate was 0.12. It was rapidly growing. Hallelujah. I don't want to repeat too much of what I said with the workers. You should have been there. Praise the Lord. The best way to increase your financial capacity is upward trading. Because of inflation, savings is not particularly your best option. You can start with savings. I will talk about that briefly. But savings is not your best option. Today, if you Google it, you will find it. 1.7% of inflation rate. And it's going to increase. What's the best rate that the bank will give you for your dollar? If you save it. Even some banks will mess you up, asking you to put your money in CDs. CDs that will give you 0.06 something percent. Over 5 years, you should be angry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, savings is your worst case scenario. And I'll tell you why. When you don't know how to trade, when you don't know how to invest, savings is your worst case scenario.
So that you don't squander the money, you put it in the best savings account you can find. And the best ones are found online, not in brick and mortar. Praise the Lord. And there are those also where savings is your worst case scenario. When you, what you have is not enough for you to invest in. But I will debunk that in a minute. Investment has become especially so easy now with these online things. There are so many financial tools out there that you can invest $5, $10, $25, $200. And if it is investment, I have told us before, the best friend of investment is time. Amen? When you invest in those financial tools, or through those financial tools, just leave it there. I was speaking to one of our brothers a few days ago. He sent me something about Social Security. You know, I found that at Social Security, even though they are taken out of your paycheck every month, you can still open an account. Your own personal account with Social Security. And he gave me some scenarios. Let me give it to you. I will quickly look for it because it's very, very important. You know, for somebody, for example, who is maybe 20 years old, 25 years old, and you invest $200 in your Social Security account, $200 every month. Right now, it's 6%. 6% return on investment. At the age of 65, somebody who has invested for 40 years, $200 every month, at the age of 45, at 6% return on investment, will have $400,289. But if you spend that $200 every month for 40 years, at the age of 65, you will have zilch. And it can go on and on and on and on. Praise the Lord. Is somebody getting the picture? Amen. So immediately after my discussion with him, I quickly went to the website to open an account for myself. And they said, we can't open an account for you. Why? You know, when you become an American citizen, your Social Security card, you should take it back to the Social Security so that they can take out some things they put on it. It's the same number they will give you, but they put some conditions are attached to that Social Security card. So since the day I became a citizen, I didn't even bother. So I woke up very early. I may not save for another 40 years, but if I leave something like that for my children, that man is a good man. Apart from the life insurance that they are going to get from. And if you don't have a life insurance, you're probably cheating yourself because that's free money. Praise the Lord. So I went to the Social Security office, told them, spent about 9 minutes. They took the old card. They said I'll get a new one. Now I got a new one. And it's paining me that Monday is holiday because they will not open. I should be able to open the account. I can't wait to open the account. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So if I'm not going to eat Chick-fil-A for a period of time and put that money in the Social Security account, is that a good deal? That's a good deal. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. So there are some financial tools you can use. Let me talk about, you see, I can't on the pulpit here begin to mention the tools. If you are interested in knowing, I will teach you. I will teach you for free. You understand what I'm saying? Put your name down with Dr. Oni. We will do it on the phone. Just have a laptop. I will show you everything you need to see. Praise the Lord. And then you make your own choice. Hallelujah. Because what you have now, savings will not give you the value you need in the future. It's only investment that will give you the value that you need in your future. So if you are putting it in savings and say, I'm keeping it, you are trading down. You are not trading up. I'll give you some more reasons. Praise the Lord. It's possible to be in this country for years, and you find out that you were never a beneficiary of the possibilities of the capital enterprise in this country. And every day you see them advertise. Every day you drive by them. Let me mention one in Kansas City here. I think it's called American Century, something like that. You know, they're a huge company. And they deal with all these tools, these investment tools that you and I can use and benefit from in the future. Praise the Lord. If the Lord Jesus tarries, God has promised each and every one of us 120 years. Your retirement age, you shouldn't be thinking about working. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, rather than being just a part of the consumer spending economy, you should be part of the investment and gaining for the future economy. Let me put it like that. Amen? Because a time will come when reality will set in. Oh, do you know, as I'm standing here today, there are some things that I know today that if I had known them 20 years ago, I'm telling you God's own truth, I will be a walking millionaire. Not by faith. I mean in reality. In reality, if I had known those, I mean, money has gone through my hands, folks. You don't want to know. If you become an investor today in this American economy, in this stable, predictable economy, and I definitely intentionally use those words, because those of us who are saying, well, I'm investing in Nigeria, it's not predictable, it's not stable. Oh, I built some houses and then I will have tenants. Who will pay me? It's those tenants that will kill your property. If you build a house, you want to go and retire in Nigeria, no, it's your retirement home, but you know you are coming back here because your investment here is growing. You have investment in Nigeria too, whatever it is. There are other instruments in Nigeria too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So what am I saying? From what I gathered, $250, $50, $30, $100, and then you keep adding to it weekly or bi-weekly or monthly. Guess what? You'll be well on your way. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, if you can do that, you'll be well on your way. And then I came to understand something that is called direct investment plans. It's called DRIP. It's basically the same thing I've just explained to you. But I can't talk much about it on the pulpit here. But one thing I can say is, it's low risk. And you have buying bundle power. Let me put it like this. If you want to buy one share of Apple today, you have to come up with about $330. Maybe that's their ask. But with Drip, you can buy Apple for $25. And then you are adding little by little to it every week, every 2 weeks, every month, whichever way you choose. You see, this is how the rich gets richer. Amen? Yesterday, I was watching the most luxurious homes in the world. I like to watch those kind of things to stimulate me, to remind me that don't stay on this level, you know. And you look at these houses. Somebody is building a house for $500 million, $500 billion. And he's not going to live there. Then I saw this African guy. I don't even know where he came from. He's not as handsome as I am. You know, he built this house. He bought it, brought it down, and then he fixed it. And oh my God, what a beauty. He said, I'm going to sell it. Then I'm going to buy another one. Then I'm going to fix it. Then I'm going to buy another. You see, then who doesn't want to have a yacht on the water? I don't care. I'm not the one to drive it. Huh? You have a private jet. Will you be looking at the time? Let me rush. If I forget my passport, let me rush so that I don't miss my... Who is going to miss his flight? You are just going to tell your pilot whenever you are ready. Huh? You may still just be waking up and you tell your PA or your three PAs, one of you. Tell the pilot to start getting ready. And you are just entering your bathroom, brushing your teeth, getting ready. It's whenever you show up. That's when the flight will take off. But if you are hooked to Delta, you miss your flight, you buy another ticket. I missed my flight once in China. Oh my God. My wife was in panic. Oh. And the ticket I had wasn't the ticket that they can rewrite out there. They said, bro, you have to buy another ticket. I have to call my wife. I said, send me money now. And the bank said, we couldn't get that amount of money. My wife went to the bank manager and said, I said, my husband is stranded in China. You are talking about... He said, you are past your limit for the day. Which limit? I said, my husband is stranded in China. You better increase that limit right now. You know, I had to buy another ticket. If I had my private jet, who would be discussing? And you know, some of the things that people frown out is simply because we have not reached that level. You understand, Brian? They say, oh, somebody was, look at this wall. The marble from Florence, and it costs 1.5. Don't touch it. How can they be wasting money like that? Who told you they are wasting money? Somebody who has probably 40-something billion dollars. What's the fraction of that in the amount of money he has? It's just like you having $2,000 and you are eating a meal of $15 and somebody say, $15? The rich gets richer. The poor gets poorer. And they complain. You know, somebody said, poor people put their money in savings and wealthy people go and take it out and use it to build their wealth. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Are you getting angry? So, wealthy people invest. Smart people invest.
why poor people save. Smarter savers are looking for where their money will grow based on interest rates. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is, the lower the interest rate, the bitter the savers become. A saver will be praying that, oh God, don't let the central bank reduce the interest rate again. The investor will say, thank God, interest rate is being reduced. You know why? They will take the money, they are paying less for it. Is somebody getting me? Come on, somebody answer me. Your banker likes you when you come to save your money, but they don't have respect for you. They have no respect for you. The other day I went to my bank. Oh, it was annoying. I said I wanted a check, cashier's check. Say it's $8. I say, why? $8? Say, unfortunately, that's the way it is. And from what I found out, if you are Caucasian, Caucasians even pay less. So sometimes now when I fill some forms, they ask you, what race are you? Don't say other. Just put white. I'm just saying. But if you are not American citizen, don't put citizen where you are not a citizen. Please, I beg you. You know? They found out that Caucasians pay less in fees than African Americans pay. It's a statistics. It's a research. Praise the Lord. So, I think I'm going to change my bank. You know, the guy just looked at, oh, we'll be sorry to see you go anyway. She didn't say more than that. So, if you want to go, you can go. You are not going to close this bank. It's not people like you. Very soon, it will be people like me. Because when I walk in, very soon, I'm not going to be talking to cashiers. It's the manager that will come out with a cup of tea and welcome me to the bank. And say, Pastor Cal, hi John, how are you? How's Madeline? How are your kids doing? Did you enjoy the vacation I sent you the ticket for? You know? Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, as a saver, until you reach a particular threshold, the bank will keep charging you every month. Hello, somebody. Am I speaking to you? Are they charging you? You are still poor. But you'll be rich in Jesus' name. Amen. So, bankers respect traders, just like God respects investors. Amen? God respects kingdom investors, not hoarders. Not hoarders. We can see it from where we read in Matthew 25. But someone can say, you know what, Pastor? What if they had lost the money? That's not a good question to ask. The real question is, what if they had lost the profit? Versus what if they had lost the money? What if they had lost the money? Mr. Wayne, he lost the profit. And the thing with investment is, just leave it there. Whether market go up, go sideways, leave it there. You know, there are some companies in America that are going nowhere. Google is not going anywhere. Apple is not going anywhere. People like Nestle, they are not going anywhere. Which other? Amazon. They are not going anywhere. Till kingdom come, they will be here. Praise the Lord. So nobody's going to run away with your money. Is somebody getting the gist? Are you getting the gist? So you see, the solution to financial problem is not money. It's your thinking, your mindset. Listen to this.
I was just thinking, meditating, and this came to my mind, and I wrote it down. If the only time money matters to you is when you are meant to obey scriptural financial commands and demands, then you know you have a money problem. You know you have a money problem. When it's time to tithe, when it's time to give, and then you have a problem, you start having these strange feelings, then you have a money problem. You have a money problem, you have a God problem, you have a future problem. Praise the Lord. There are those who, no matter what, they will pursue possibilities. You know why? Because they know it's there. They will pursue it because they know it's there. They will pursue it. They will keep pursuing it because they know it's there. And those who don't know, those who don't see possibilities, they will settle for anything. It's a crime. It's a crime. It's a sin to let your life, to let your destiny settle for anything. Hallelujah. There are more possibilities than what you can see. There are more possibilities than what is available. So until you learn to become a converter, converting what I can go in different dimensions, but for time, maybe we'll continue this next week. Until you have a converter mentality of what you have into what is necessary through the power of God, through the wisdom of God. Everybody needs to walk in the wisdom of God. You just be depriving yourself your future. Hallelujah. Many of us cannot convert anything, even if we want to. Or do we even know how? You know why? Because of the burdens of debt that we carry. The burdens of debt. Debt is killing. We are walking, smiling, dead man walking, but too many credit card debts. And yet, seems there is no solution in view. And it seems as if borrowing and borrowing more seems to be the solution when it's not the solution. Debt has limited a lot of people's potential. Debt has covered people that their star cannot shine. But this year, 2020, you are coming out of debt. Amen. Oh my God. Amen. A friend of mine, he said, and I love the way he analyzed it. He said, look at the animals in the forest. A lion, it kills and eats whatever it kills the way it is. Right? The same with other animals. Herbivores, cows, buffaloes, sea grass, hay, they eat it as it is. They say chimpanzees are the closest to human being. They have no conversion ability. They don't cook what they eat. Right? They don't say, oh, let's wake up this morning. It's time to brush your teeth. Let's go and bath. Let's go and do it. Oh, this shoe. Let me. No. Only human beings have been given the ability to convert. Only human beings know that, oh, if you roast the meat, it will be better. Only human beings know that, oh, your salad, you cannot grass, but your salad, you can put some condiments on it, and you will enjoy. Only human being knows how to convert worms into silk. Only human being knows how to convert reed into linen. Only human being knows how to convert a cow into shoes. Only human being knows how to convert
So many things. Trees. God gave us trees. He didn't give us furniture, but He gave us the ability to convert trees to furniture. He gave us so many things that we can, everything we are using today, they came in form of raw materials, but they became what they become because God gave you and I the ability to convert. But if we remain on animalistic levels, we will never convert anything. And life will always be a burden. In closing, the Bible says, in Psalm 49 and verse 20, Psalm 49 verse 20, what does it say? It says, a man who is in honor, he is in honor, yet he does not understand. Is like a beast that perishes. He does not understand the honor he has. He does not understand the gift that has been given to him. I tell my son all the time, he likes to watch some of these things on YouTube, and he enjoys it so much. They are talking, they are moving things, and it annoys me to kingdom come. I'll say, switch it off. You see those people? They are making money. They made it so that people like you can watch. And you enjoy it and frying your brain. And you are sitting down laughing by himself. I don't understand what they are saying. Whereas they are shouting, hey, I said, why don't you make your own? Let other people pay for it. And let them too sit down and waste their time. And watch you too do all those things. And you become a millionaire. I will help you invest the money. I'll take my cut. Praise the Lord. What I've just said is so relevant to every area of our lives. When are you going to start thinking of your future? Don't rest on just what your employer is going to give you. Some of us, our employers are contributing maybe 3% to our 401k. But we left it for them to control. No, you can control it yourself. You can move things around yourself. You can redistribute your own 401k to the optimum for you. You have to ask questions and ask the right questions. May God bless His word in Jesus' name. If you have been blessed, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.